Amen. Hey, let's turn our Bible to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. We've been talking about the Great Commission for a little while. This is going to be our final installation of the of our series on the Great Commission. Lord willing. Lord willing, I believe that's the where we're at with that. And so Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So we've been talking about these, the different parts. We've talked about the going, you know, and the going and the going and teaching all nations, taking the gospel to the world, right? We talk about baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, bringing them in under under the church and the body of Christ, that we might bring them in to be a place that the, which the third part is talking about, teaching them to observe. Right? Teaching to observe. Not teaching to know, right? But teaching to observe. We are not to be a reservoir of knowledge. Like the Dead Sea. You know, like the salt sea. We're just going to bring it all in and get salty. Right? But instead, we're to bring it in to put it back out. Right, that's what the Lord. That's the flow. I find the more that it flows through us, the more sticks to us. I mean, in form of knowledge and understanding and a relationship with the Lord. But so there's this thing of what we get. We teach to observe the things whatsoever I've commanded you. That we might teach folks how to follow what God wants. We might learn. By the way, that's not a. We are not a theological seminary. Amen. You know, we're not this place that we're the church isn't a place to get this so we can understand everything right here. Listen, this is a place to get us closer to the Lord. We might begin. You know what could happen? You could hear something here at church that kind of piques your interest. You know what you could do? Your interest gets peaked. You could go home and keep studying about that. Amen. And the Spirit of God can lead us into truth, right? Amen. You say, well, so why do we even need church altogether? Well, because there's more than just that. There's a place that we work together in the work of the body, right? Now you say, so we should go learn about the Bible other places. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there's a time that we begin and God has a process to take us together as a whole in some things. Some are going to get... listen, we're not all going to be at the same place at the same time all the time. I hope we're not at the same place. You say, well, I think... Shouldn't we? No, I hope there's some lost people come in here that are just beginning. Amen. I hope there's some people that are much more mature in their spiritual life, that have been spending more time with the Lord, and they have a greater understanding. I hope we have folks like that. Amen? I mean, we're not all at the same place. You know, if we're going to be at different places, and so the Word of God begins when it's sent out. It's meant to reach a varied group of people, right? And so this is what we're trying to do. And some folks are going to grab something, some are going to grab, and some are going to be like, "Well, that's interesting." I've always done that as a church member. I would hear something like, "Well, that's interesting." We'll go home and read about that, study, find out some more about that, and then sometimes I'll get stumped. I'd come back to my pastor and say, "Pastor, what? You said that, I seen this, and what is that, you know?" And, I love it when people have questions. I really do. I love when people come to me and say, "Pastor, I got a question about this." You know what that tells me? They've been looking in the Bible. They've been doing more than just getting spoon-fed. Right? Hey, that's right. It's all right to get spoon-fed. That's part of what we're doing. But you know, take it and chew it up a little bit. Get some more with it. So, listen, we're going to talk about a little bit about that tonight. I want to talk about the work of the body. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians with me, if you would. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. We began talking a little bit about this last week, about the body and the body of Christ and how that's where we work in this place, and God works us together in that area. We're part of that thing. We're going to look a little bit more about that tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Bible says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, we're in verse 1, I would not have you ignorant. The word ignorant means you just don't know, right? Ignorant doesn't mean stupid, right? That person's ignorant. Well, if they're ignorant, it's probably not as much their fault as we'd like to blame them. Ignorant means we just don't know. And this is what he's saying. He said, I don't want you to be unknowing. I don't want you to be without. Stupid is that you know and choose not to do it. Right? A little bit different thing. So when the Bible talks about ignorant, I would not have you ignorant of not knowing and not understanding this thing. He said, you know that ye Gentiles, now he's going to say, here's what you do know already, right? He said, you know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So he says this here. There are many members, but one body, right? He goes through this. He said there's many, many parts, many members, but there's one body. He's dealing with this. Listen, the Great Commission is not not meant to be a Lone Ranger work, right? The Great Commission isn't something that we are on our own meant to go off and tackle the, you know, I'm going to charge hell with a squirt gun, right? That's foolish. I'm just telling you right now. I'm going to take on the devil with a squirt gun. What, really? Like, this is maybe one of the most powerful angels God ever created. I got him. You know what I mean? And sometimes we say stuff that sounds pretty good. You know, like, that's good preaching. But then when you kind of think about it, it's like, this is, the devil is no wimp. I mean, he's not to be, you know, he's not to be entangled with, and he has defeated much greater people than you or I. But he that's within me is greater than he that's in the world. Yeah, I get that, and I understand that. But listen, God's plan isn't for me to go solo. Not for me to go solo. It's not a lone ranger. It's the mission of the body, right? So God has not given us all the same gift, right? We're different. Look at verse 11 again. He says, but all of these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So, how each one of us will be gifted by God for the work of the ministry is not up to our choosing. We don't get to choose how we're going to be gifted by God. I had somebody call me up one day. I was pastoring Temple Baptist Church in Youngsville, Louisiana. And so there's, there was other Temple Baptist churches, and it came and different things were going on. And they called me up one day and they said, "Hey, this Temple Baptist, it said, is my baptism still good?" So they called me up and said, "I just want to check to see if my baptism is still good." I'm like, this was a church plant, you know. He was thinking he was talking to the other. And I said, "Well, did you get baptized?" He said, "Yeah, I got baptized there at Temple Baptist, you know, on this time." I said, "Well, what do you mean, is it still good?" He said, "Well, we, my wife and I would like to get into the ministry, and I just want to see if my baptism is still good." I said, "Hey, can my wife and I come and visit with y'all?" He said, "Yeah, that'd be great." So we went to visit him, and obviously he didn't understand some things. There were some things he was ignorant of, right? So I began to talk to him, and finally what I found out is, like, you know, we really we haven't been in church in a while, but we want to get back in church, and we really want to get the gift of healing. I said, "How's that?" He said, "We want to get we just really want to help people. We'd like to get the gift of healing, and so we could, you know, we'd hold campaigns, we can heal people." "Oh, all right." I said, "So would I." Wouldn't that be something? I mean, you know, I just thought it was the weirdest thing. I mean, I've had a lot of weird things. That was one of them. That was one of the top weirdest things. I've had a lot of other weird things, but I just thought, you know, there's something obviously misunderstood. Like, I just decide I want to have this gift of whatever, you know. Everybody doesn't have the gift of preaching, right? Everybody doesn't have the gift of compassion. Everybody doesn't have the gift of administration. You know, there's different things that God gifts us with. We're all going to be a little different, right? We're all going to be a little different. Listen, but how we get gifted by God isn't up to our choosing. We don't get to make that decision. It's not how God works. Listen, this series is talking about dividing to every man severally as he will. It's as he will. Amen? As there's a need in the body, in the church, the Spirit of God, God gives us some ability, a gift. Imagine we're here and God sometimes will send somebody with an ability. Amen? Sometimes God will ability somebody that's already here. Sometimes, watch this, we already have that ability, we said no about it. Right? Maybe the need wasn't there yet. You say, "I've never done that before, preacher. Never done that before." "Well, have you ever tried?" "No." "Well, would you try?" "No, God wouldn't use me that way." Right? I think there's a... I asked Brother Jonathan, I said, "Hey, could you... Would you be willing to lead the music?" He's like, "Oh." Right? He said, "Is it a preacher? I will if you want me to, but, you know." And I got that. I think he would. I think he would, too. I think we asked him, I said, "Brother, I need you to come do it." I think he'd do it. I really do. I appreciate that spirit. It's like this. Listen, I don't know, but if God, if there's a need there, and sometimes God will say, "You know what? I want somebody else to do that." Right? And listen, this isn't up to our choosing. It says, as the Lord wills, He does that. Do we believe that? I mean, do we believe God is that smart? I was kind of quiet. I was expecting a little more unanimous. I mean, do we believe God's that smart? Yeah. Do we believe God can do that? Yeah, of course He can. Sure He can. Notice with me over here in the book of Romans. Let's turn to the book. I think we want to keep our space here. I think I'm going to come back here. But... go back to the book of Romans in chapter 12. Verse 1, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your..." Yeah, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I love those verses. It just really talks about who we are and why we should do what we should do. It's just reasonable. It's the perfect will of God for us to do it. Look down to verse 5. It says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Listen, these gifts that are given by the Lord, none of us, let me say this again. These gifts are given by the Lord. Not a one of us has any place to glory in how God's gifted us. Amen? We have no place to say, "Ha, yeah, I'm really good at this thing." Well, so what? You didn't do it. That's hurtful, isn't it? It could be a little bit hurtful. I mean, we don't say that to people. You ain't nothing. You know what I mean? We're not trying to put other people down. We exalt one another. But I'm just saying this. Listen, I can't be ashamed of my bald head. Amen. Thank you. No more than you can glory about your lovely locks. Just can't do it. But yeah, look at my hair. Well, you didn't grow it. Now listen, if you brushed it, maybe you could say, you know, I brushed it. Well, okay, you did that. Taking care of it. That's another. I'm just saying, listen, God made us the way He made us. You know, we all didn't get to be good looking. Like, but God made us how we are. God made us how we are. And so He gifts us how He's going to gift us. And He gifts us according to His will, as He desires, as He wants it. I want us to see here in Romans, before we turn back to 1 Corinthians, we see the same thing. We are members together here. Watch this. One of another. Look again at verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. See, this is not a Lone Ranger operation. We are together, one of another. I wish I could overemphasize this enough to make it just so. Listen, and we're going to get to this later, but listen, we are in this thing together. And can I tell you, you need me as much as I need you. And we need one another. And so listen, what happens though is we get something, a little challenge in our life, and we're like, nah, I can handle this. Can I just say this? It ain't yours to handle on your own. How about that? Who do you think you are to deal with your problem by yourself? Like, well, how'd that turn on me, right? Listen, God said we're in this thing together. We're one. We're members one of another, as He said there. And everyone members one of another. These differing gifts are meant to complement one another. Think about this. Somebody that has, God has given them the gift of mercy, and you don't give them the opportunity to use their gift. Somebody has, this is a tough one for us. I'm going to tell you, this is really awkward for us. Someone has the gift of giving, but you won't let them give to you. I'll tell you, being a missionary was an eye-opening experience. I walked into churches, and I would be sitting there just talking to some folks, and somebody would come up and give me a $100 bill. I'm just like, no, it's okay. Like, and they're like, no, take it. I'm like, Russ, no, I don't want you. I mean, I don't know. What are you doing? I don't know. I'm good. It was weird. And God began to really smoke my heart about that. He said, these people aren't giving it to you because they think you're great. They're giving it to you because they think I'm great. And I thought, ow. And I thought, here I'm telling them, no, you can't give to God through me. When you reword it like that, it felt real awkward, didn't it? And I realized, you know, okay, just I'm going to take it. Has anybody else got one? You know, no, I didn't do that. But I'm just saying there's a God has gifted us in different ways. And we're one of another here this is a place that God wants to help us to listen. If we can't develop that spiritual gift of God here, one to another, how are we going to do it out there? This is one of another. This is we're in this thing together is what I'm saying. I'm going to say that a few more times. But these different gifts are meant to complement one another. Rather, they're to make us a whole. In verse 6, he said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. See, they're different. We're not going to have a church that's all has one gift. That'd be freakish, be unbalanced, right? Imagine if all you ever did is curls with one arm all day long. You got this big old, and this is a scrawny little thing. You look kind of freakish. See what I'm saying? Same thing. If our whole church was the same kind of gift and all we did is the same thing, right? Everybody had the gift of prophecy. Man, we would just go and be telling everybody like it is all the time. And we've been missing all that other stuff. You know, we'd be kind of what we might consider lopsided. You see, and so the Lord is telling us, listen, these gifts, they're differing. This, by the way, not accidentally. If God has brought you to be a member here, He's done it on purpose. He's done it. Look at verse. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath, what's that word? Pleased Him. Not how it pleased me, but it's how it pleased Him. He set us there as it pleased Him. It's like, you know, I just don't know if I like. And listen, if God has placed you here, He's placed it. It's not accidental. I was just going by one day and there was a church. I thought I would go join that one. No, listen, that's not how it works. You ever had coincidences in your life? No, you haven't. I trapped you, sorry. You know, but there's times that we're like, man, that's strange how that worked out. And then, you know, we call this thing hindsight is 20/20. Right? When you get back here, you look back and you're like, oh. That's what God was doing. Listen, we are set in place by the Spirit of God. The same thing can be seen over here. Keep your place again there. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. We see this same thing happening in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. He says this, from whom the... Oh, wait a minute. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Whew, we are fitly joined together like a puzzle. You ever done a puzzle? And you get down to the end and there's pieces missing. Doesn't that make you mad? We got dogs that eat. If it hits the floor, we're in trouble. We like doing puzzles. We do. We like doing puzzles. You know, and we kind of have a deal. Once it gets down, now, for the most part, there'll be about two or three of us to do the puzzle. But as it gets down toward the end, everybody wants to get in there and put the last piece in. There ain't nothing worse than getting down there's holes. You're like, let's throw it away. I mean, he's like, well, it's just missing a few pieces. Something's missing. You see, he says here, every joint supplieth. We don't have any useless joints in the body of Christ. I mean, imagine doing a puzzle. Now, we do this a lot with puzzles, too. You're doing a puzzle and you just find this piece. You can't find where it goes anywhere. You look on the box. We don't even need it. It doesn't go to this puzzle. We're like, this doesn't fit on this puzzle and you want to throw it away. Right? Or we'll do this other thing. We're looking. There's this piece you're trying to find. Like, I think they shorted us. There's a piece missing, right? And you're looking and you're looking and finally, at the end, it kind of comes together. You're like, oh, there it was all along. I just didn't see it right. I'm telling you this, folks. There is no useless joints in the body of Christ. None. If there were a member, if there is a member that's not supplying their part, see, it says there, and by that which every joint supplieth. Can I say this? If there's a member that is not supplying their part, it's not the Lord's will. It's man's choice. See, so, maybe you know somebody's like, man, I know about that person. They never do anything around here. Well, that's not the point of our message tonight. The point is this guy, right? The one back at us. What am I doing? So I don't know. How am I doing anything? You ever thought about that? Am I doing anything for the Lord? How am I? You know, sometimes we just get out of sorts and we quit doing what we ought to be doing. Some folks bury their talent, right? I want to hide that thing. I want to just, you know, I just don't know. Maybe sometimes folks get upset. They get upset. There was this couple that I knew, good friends of ours. They were struggling in church, and my wife and I befriended them and got them into church and kind of got them to be. They began to be faithful, spending time with them and with our kids and their little babies, and so they just got to be super faithful and became just servants. I mean, they would be the last people cleaning up after a fellowship dinner, all the dishes and everything. They were just servants, great servants of God. And what ended up happening, though, is nobody said thank you to them. And maybe if you did say thank you, it's fine, we just love to do this. You know, so I think people began to say, okay, maybe they didn't want to be thanked. Well, they did want to be thanked. They got upset because nobody was thanking them. They got so upset about that, they said, fine, we ain't doing it. We're not going to serve anymore. Got themselves in such a sour place. I mean, really to a place of emotional breakdown. You're like, what happened there? I don't know. You know, but here's what I'm saying. What happened? Now, can I say God did some things in their life and in their servants? Praise the Lord for that. But I'm saying here's what can happen. Sometimes we can get ourselves in a place that we don't supply what God wants us to supply in the body, right? Sometimes it's just we just don't choose to do our part. And other times we're having trouble doing our part, right? Things come up in life and I'm challenged, I'm burdened. There's other stresses, right? I've got this burden over here, this care that's on my life, and I'm dealing with this thing, and you know, I'm trying to. But can I just say this? There's times, but we're all in this together. Amen? Listen, there are no unneeded or unnecessary members of the body. Look now down at verse 14. I'm sorry. Back to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12, again, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Found that several places there. So, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Listen, you're here because it pleased God to set you here. Amen? I want you to get that tonight, folks. This is what the Bible is telling us. God sets us where it pleases Him. Whatever your ministry, whatever your gift, whatever your ability or your inability. Well, I can't do that and everybody else in the church can. Well, maybe that's why God has you there. This is going to be a weird thought. I do that sometimes. Sometimes God has set you in a place because of your inability. Because of what you can't do. I'm going to deal with that a little bit in a moment. But I want to just say this. We need all parts. Some of you here are great at encouraging others. I've said this for years. I'm telling you, for a preacher, one of the most, I don't know if the most, but it's really high up there on the list of encouraging things is people being in their place. I'm telling you, there's nothing more encouraging to a preacher than someone that will always be in their place with the right spirit. So I can't even tell you when a preacher comes in, looks around and sees the empty spots where folks should have been sitting, right? They're not. A little discouraging. Listen, there's some of you here are going to be great at just encouraging others, encouraging words. Others are excellent ministers, ministering to the hurts of others, compassion, mercy, these kind of things. Some of you have the strength and energy to meet physical needs of the church, and you do some of those kind of things. Others still have other gifts and other abilities. Listen, we need all sorts. We need all sorts to make a body, right? Never ever say, I'm no use to this church. That's completely untrue. Nor should we ever say someone else isn't needed. Every person that God wants to place here is needed. It's needed. Well, how do you know? Because God placed them here. That's what he said, as it's pleased him. Look at verse 21. He says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Listen, imagine if the whole body were an eye. We'd look like an alien. That's a joke. Y'all can smile there. All right. Y'all with me? He said, listen, if the whole body, he says that up there. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If we're all just eyes. We're just wide. I don't even know what that means, honestly. I don't think the Lord is trying to say, well, eyes are the part of us that do this, and the ear, the foot, the smell does this. I mean, I'll try to connect smell to a spiritual gift. I'm not sure what that means. I think he's just talking about using that illustration of the body and saying, listen, we're all different parts, and we're going to be compacted to, fit together and in a different way. And we're not trying to be strange, and we're all going to be the same thing and looking that way. We're not going to be that. If we're all ears, we'd be a corn stalk. Okay, sorry. It was there. I had to take it. Sorry. All right. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Listen, does every member always do their part? Yeah, right. Right? No, just like there's not one of us here that's perfect. Right? But we don't get rid of the more feeble members because they're struggling. You understand what I'm saying? We don't push people away because they're failing or falling. I don't know if you're aware of this, but independent fundamental Baptists are known for shooting their wounded. That's what we're kind of known for that. Amen. No, that's not an amen. That's old me. We're kind of known for that. Like, bless God, if they're not going to get right, then... And so we're kind of known for shooting our wounded. I hate to be known for that. There's other things I'd rather be known for. We're also known for knocking on doors and reaching people for the gospel. I like that one better, all right? But listen, we don't cast people away because they're falling and hurting and making mistakes. Sin. We're trying to, in the book of Matthew, when Jesus has given us a way to... have what we talk about at the church discipline, how to deal with that. The purpose is always to restore. So restore the brethren. And listen, we're not trying to get rid of folks. We're trying to, listen, they're necessary. God has placed them here. They're necessary. That brother is just a mess. Right? This sister, she's always causing trouble and speaking out. And, we'd be better without her. You ever thought that? No, don't say that. But sometimes, you know what I'm saying? There's folks you're like, oh, I guess they're not coming back. Whew. Yeah, I mean, just be honest. There's folks that it's like, if they never come back, it feels like it would be a blessing. You know what I'm saying? There's folks can be like that. But I'm telling you, the Bible says here what we want to say. I want to tell you that this evening is this: they're necessary. Sometimes it's them that God uses to help us to learn how to minister to others. Sometimes the very people God wants to be in here are people that cause trouble. You mean like a wolf? No, I don't mean like a wolf. I mean just struggling, feeble Christians that struggle with doing the right thing. You say, well, can I take that role? No, you don't want that role because it's not a pleasant role. But what I'm saying here tonight is this, that just because there's a folks like that, listen, they're still part of this body. They're a joint of this body that God has put together that supplies a need and supplies something. You're like, what is it? What the spiritual? I don't know. I'm not the master of these things. I'm just reading this same you are, right? We're trying to see what God is saying here. Listen, they're necessary. Even when and if we think they're not. They're necessary. They're the ones that we get to see God work in their lives more abundantly. To whom much is forgiven, more love. I tell you, when we see somebody that's weak and feeble and makes some mistakes and struggles and does this or that, and God begins to do something in their life, man, it's so visible, right? So exciting when we get to see that in their life. We get to be a part of helping, encouraging, exhorting, and training somebody that's getting their life right. And you know, some people I've worked with and discipled, there was a mess. I mean, they just fell away. And then to come back and you're working with some, many fall away, but many don't. And God restores them and God does something with them. And it's what a wonderful thing it is to see that. I love to see that. What a thrill it is to watch God do a work in their lives. Look at verse 23 here. He says, and these members, and those members of the body which we think, were in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. The ones we think are more of a problem. They're less honorable. He said, listen, when we bestow honor on them, when we give attention and interest, the uncomely, right? I mean, uncomely means they ugly. That's what it means. It's really the meaning of the word. They're not pretty. And of course, we're not talking about appearance. We're talking about in this way of the spiritual life. But the uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. We get to see the glory of God coming off their life. Man, what a great thing. What a shame it would be to not have anyone that God was doing a work on in our midst. It'd be shameful if we had all arrived. We're a church full of people that have arrived, and there's nobody here for God to show His glory on. Nobody comes to the altars. Nobody's got anything to get right with God. Nobody ever comes. Nobody ever pleads with God. Nobody's ever in a burden. Nobody ever has a problem. Nobody ever needs God's mercy. Nobody ever needs God's power on them. Nobody ever needs God to come and meet a burden in their life. We're just full of folks that all of us have attained. Man, what a mess that would be. That would be so absent from the presence of God. Verse 24, he said, for our comely parts have no need. See that again? He says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, and having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. God is working in those that need something in their life. And I'm telling you, folks, if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about, where God has done a work in somebody's life and you just watch that and you're like, wow. And then you know what's really exciting? I had a part in that. I encouraged them to be at church. I sat with them and helped them to find their place in their Bible. I remember this little boy, my next door neighbor. We were out there and invited him to church. He came and he came and got saved. And he had a fellow and this couple, a mom and a dad and their boy moved in with him for a period of time. And they were there. And the little boy, we started inviting him to church. He was 12 years old. Started inviting him to church. And I'm telling you, about 3 weeks in, he got saved. Amen. It was exciting. Thought this little boy got saved. He would come back. He would sit about the third pew back. Maybe the second, because we were sitting in the third pew. He's sitting in the second one, right there on the edge. And as the pastor was up there preaching, he'd be sitting there, "Amen, preacher!" At the right times. The right time. He was listening, and man, it was exciting. I'm sitting there, he was just full of it. I mean, just excited about being saved. And I was a new Christian. I'm telling you, I was a pretty new Christian. I don't think I've been saved a year. And I'm watching this, I'm just like, whew! God used me to be involved in that life. So exciting. I mean, he was excited, and it excited me that he was excited, that God let me be a part of that thing. Man, it's so exciting when you get to be a part of somebody's life. This is what a church is all about. But listen, he said, beyond this thing of being one with another and one to another and together in this thing, listen, third thing is this. I didn't tell you the first and second, but here's the third. Sorry. I can go back and get them for you later if you want. Sorry. There should be no divisions. Look at verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Again, we see the process here that God has lined out for us. When we value every member, listen. See what he's talking about? When we value every member and whatever, and that we understand that every member supplies something, there'll be no divisions. That person that kind of maybe annoys you, or like, you're just like, you know what I mean? You internally roll your eyes. Now, we shouldn't do that. But I'm saying, you know what I mean? And when you begin to realize, you know what? They're here on purpose. They're here on purpose because God placed them here. And you know what, if we're going to be the church God wants us to be, they need to be here. When we think of each other like that, there's going to be no divisions. But when we see no need for different parts, we only seek to have a church of the same people. We only want a church of people that are just like me. Think the way I think, do the thing I do, dress the way I dress, believe everything that I've ever believed, right? Got to be exactly the same. You say you think we should have doctrinal differences. No, don't get off on that thing. All right, we're not talking about people that don't believe the book. We're not talking about that. We're talking about this. Some things we just approach things differently, right? And listen, we're not all trying to be the same person. That isn't who God sets in this place together. But when we see no need for that, we find that place. Listen, when we find, we say, you know, I want everybody to be just like me. Y'all be in trouble. Right? We just be goofing all the time. Right? Listen, it can become, what can happen is it can become more of a gathering company or a club. Because we only allow those in to think just like me. You say, you think we should let other folk in? I hope God sends people in here that we think are out of their minds. I mean, to some respect. I'm talking about lost people. I hope God will send through that door. Maybe we'll reach them out there, whatever. God will send people in here that are ignorant of the truth and we can tell them about it. I hope there's somebody that comes in here. Listen. It's the Lord that builds the church. He's bringing them in. He's setting us in here. He's doing this thing. Didn't he say that? He said, I will build my church, is what Jesus Christ said. If he's building it, then he's going to be the one that sets up sin here. And he's the one that's going to do this. Listen, he's bringing in people in here that need to be saved. I'm going to tell you, there'll be a mess. And they're messy. And it'll get a little sticky. We had a guy in our, we were teaching a college and career class, you know, adult singles. And we had this guy come in. If he had ever brushed his hair, it'd been a long time. I'm just saying, he was a mess. He'd come in there. He wasn't dirty, but he was just looked like he could have been. And he just come in, he sat there and he would just say some stuff, and you're just like, oh man, he said that. He's newly saved. He's newly saved, and he's talking to me. And so he'd just go on, and I'm just like, oh man, this is amen. And God was doing something in his life. He was getting over some recovery, some things. He was in a recovery program in our church, and things were going in his life, and he was beginning to come this way. One day he came in. He said, "Preacher, can I talk?" I was teaching something. He said, "Can I talk to you about something?" I said, "Yeah." He said, I was telling the students there. I said, "You know, you ought to be able to share your testimony. You ought to be able to tell God about what you'll tell people about what God's done in your life." I told him, "You'll work on that and be ready to, you know, give something like that." And he came and said, "Preacher," he said, "my life is real bad." He said, I just got out of prison. I was this and I was that. It's just not a real pretty life." And I said, "Praise the Lord. Look where you're at now. Tell that story. Tell that story here." And he came and I said, "Keep it clean." Can I just say, lost people can be messy. They can be messy, but I'm telling you, what a thrill it was to see God working in his life week by week. And I'm just saying, listen, God will bring people in here like that. Others have been saved, God will bring in here, but they're ignorant of the truth. Also messy. They'll come in here with some crazy ideas. I've had folks come in church and you're thinking, how on earth did you hear? Some of the greatest Baptist folks I've ever met came in with a messed up mind. Came from other kind of wacky churches. They came in, and I said, "Listen, I always tell them, come and listen for a while." And they want to debate these things. I said, "Listen, before we do that, why don't you just come in and listen for a while? Let God, you'll help you to see some things." And man, I'll tell you, it's amazing. The people that came, they went from speaking in tongues, came in, and I'm not letting anybody else don't do that here. We don't do that here. And they're like, okay. But come and listen, and God begins to. It's messy. You get folks up in there. They're up here during the song service. They're doing some of this, and you're like, "Oh man, it's a Baptist church. We don't do that, right?" And it just gets weird. And you're like, "All right." And then I see their spirit. And I'm like, "I want to do it with them." I'm just like, "Amen." Right? And I said, it could be messy. It could be messy. People come in. God begins to do work in their life, and He uses us to get to be in on that. Then there'll be others that think they already know everything. They'll come up in here. Oh yeah, they're very messy. Right? I mean, it's all of it. But when we recognize that every member has a purpose, even as they are, we'll be one body. There'll be no schism, no division, no separation. He says in verse 25, listen again, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So instead of schism, which means division, there's care one for another. Verse 26 says it this way, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Whew, we're in this thing together. Did I say that already? Yeah. If one is hurt, we all hurt for them. Somebody comes up and says, this person's over in the hospital. We're like, what? We're going to pray for them. We're going to get serious about it. I don't want them to be hurt. You know what I want? I want them to be in their place here. We find out something's going on. Sometimes the hurt isn't physical. Sometimes there's an emotional relationship or friendship. And we get here with a burden. We want to lift them up and encourage one another around that. Listen, if one is hurt, we're hurt together with them. Listen, but I would say like this. If one of us has been honored, we don't get jealous and say, well, yeah, I should have got that honor. Right? No. Listen. When we realize there's a need and that every joint supplieth the need and God has a purpose for each one, you know, I'm excited about what God's doing in your life. But when I don't really think that way, we can get a little jealous when God does something. Why is God always blessing them? How about this? When God blesses them, He's blessing me as a body. Right? My left shoulder doesn't say, why does the right shoulder always feel nice? And I don't. That'd be dumb, wouldn't it? I wish it was as sore as me. Isn't that weird? If one's been honored, we don't get jealous and pull them back down. No, we rejoice with them together as a body. Listen, this isn't about Christianity as a whole. It's about who God has set in this place as a body together. It's how we work together right here in Titusville to reach our community for Christ. It's what He's wanting to use this body for. To work together to reach our community for Christ while also sending people to both reaching them around the world to the regions beyond, to the uttermost. What a wonderful picture the Lord has given us. Look at verse 27. He says, now ye are the body of Christ and the members in particular. I want to conclude with this couple thoughts. If you're here today, God has placed you here. Amen? If you're not yet a member, now is the time to come join with this body of believers. And if you are a member already, let's determine to be what God needs us to be to fulfill the Great Commission of reaching our world for Christ. Listen, folks. This is just not about me being comfortable. Not about me getting my way. You know I like to get my way. I've said that already a couple times. It's not about me just getting my way. It's about God using me in a body that we might come together to do what God wants us as a whole. And that is God's plan. What a wonderful commission He's given us. Let's be what God wants us to be. Father, I pray that You would, Lord, take Your word tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to, Lord, each one see that, Lord, each one here is important. Lord, You've placed them here on purpose. It's not accidental. Not a slip. It's not a misjudgment. Lord, nobody's here that isn't needed. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to desire to be what You want us to be. And then, Lord, when others come in that are different, maybe they're strange, they're lacking something, Lord, that we would be so excited to minister to them that we might also see them become that needed part that You desired put here with us. Lord, I pray that You'd help us tonight, Lord, to let us and help us to follow Your will. Lord, we'll thank You now in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together.